a hard time admitting that there is God, let alone even to conceive the thought that God of the universe is in control of everything and everything that goes on. And we as Christians believe that, amen? We believe that God is in control. Though it looks like it's out of control, God has given us the opportunity through the Word of God to realize that He knows what's going on. The Bible says He raises up and tears down authorities. He raises up leaders and takes them down. Sometimes we see some leaders coming into countries that we wonder what in the world's going on. But you know, God has a perfect plan. And sometimes we think that we know His perfect plan. I'll tell you what His plan is. Revelation tells us very carefully, and many other places of Scripture. Scripture says that in the last days, there's going to be troubles and trials and pestilence and on it goes. And, well, hello, it's got to happen. Things have to happen so that we understand that Jesus Christ is coming back. The trump of God is going to sound. And dead in Christ shall rise, and though the remains shall be caught up, will ever, well, that's a comforting thought, will ever be with the Lord. And so when troubles come in our hearts and our lives today, we ought to understand that God is still in control. He has not just thrown a pair of dice like some people would think He does. He is in control. He knows exactly what's going on. He allows things to happen because we know that in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. And so in the days of Noah, we're not a good place. God was very upset what's going on there. And I'm going to speak about that in a little bit. The first battle mankind had, and to the last battle that we'll have, will ultimately end up the same way. Unbelieving mankind is going to be so surprised that he is going to bow down his knee to the Almighty God. Scripture tells us that in Romans chapter 14, verse 11, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So don't get so cranked up about some of these people that you think that they're just, you know, they've got all the moves and they got all the brightness and they got all the things going on. Let me tell you something. God is still in control. He is and will always be battling in his mind the idea, mankind will, and he will not be controlled by anybody, especially God. I heard somebody say on the other day on the radio, it said that, you know, this climate change, he said, they have made a religion out of this. I was very interested. These were just regular newscasters. He said, you know, they made a religion out of this thing. Because it takes a lot of faith to believe what they're saying is happening. It's not happening. And I thought, boy, oh boy, maybe some people actually are getting the blinders off. Amen. Well, in God's Word, God shows us things that transpired before mankind was even created by the hand of God. In the beginning, God created the universe. He created this world and all the life forms and after their kind. And then, with marvelous insight, God created His crowning creation. He created man. Boy, I'm glad He did that. Amen? He created man. But He realized He needed to straighten man out a little bit, so He created woman. Amen. You liked that, didn't you, Fern? Amen. God created man for a very important purpose. And that purpose was to have fellowship and to love the Almighty God. That's why we're created. We're not created that God would worship us. God created us that we would worship Him. And may I add that God created and designed this earth and this universe. It only took Him 6 days, and He made it out of, as the Hebrew word, exilio, which means out of nothing, ex nihilo. When God turned over the Garden of Eden, there was no sin in it. Everything was perfect. In fact, God said, He said, it is very good. When you study about creation, you'll find that the Bible scholars call these times in through our lives dispensations. Times that God had worked in mankind, and mankind had failed, and then God gave them another dispensation to work on, and then man failed, and on and on. The first dispensation is called the Age of Innocence. God created mankind perfect, without sin. God created mankind free, with a free will. And God did not let man be in the dark concerning his spiritual condition nor responsibility. God commanded man, and he was very explicit. He forbid man to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Listen to what he told man. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. There's a lot of people who think that when God made man, he just lay around in your hammock all day. That doesn't work. God wants us to work. He wanted us to till the ground and to dress it and to keep it. And verse 16 says, And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Verse 17, But, I've circled that in my Bible, Of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Did God allow man to be in the dark concerning his spiritual condition? Absolutely not. God told him. God said, listen to me. You can eat of all the trees. I mean, you can eat of the papyri tree. You can eat of the apple tree. And you can eat of the orange tree. And you can eat all of it. But there's one tree you're not to eat of. That's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat of that tree, you will surely die. Mankind was not in the dark about the judgment of death. Man was not in the dark about the judgment that would be brought upon mankind if he did what he was told not to do. You know, when we raise our children, we try to give them a few commandments in our house. And as they grow up, we say, I don't want you to do that. I don't want you to do that. Your mama does that, doesn't she? Yeah, don't you do that now, boy. If you do that, I'm going to kill you. Your mama say that? Yeah, that's right. Amen. Have you ever done things your mama told you not to do? You've never done anything wrong from your mother? Nah, come on now. I know you're a duck. Oregon ducks. Oregon ducks don't lie. You've done some things your mama told you not to do. Isn't that correct? Yeah, thank you. Boy, I'm glad you got that over, man. I thought we were going to have a slap dag out thing here. All right. So, man, in our homes, we tell our children there's certain things we want them to do. We want you home at 10 o'clock. We want you to, you know, if you get a ticket, I'm the first one you tell. I don't want to, if you bang up the truck or bang up the car or bang up the motorcycle, I want you to be the first one. I don't want to have somebody come and tell me about that. I want you to tell me that. If you cannot make it home at 10 o'clock, I want you to call me. And if you keep this up, we're going to take care of some things. And just keeping the kids out of dark. I raised three boys. I understand. Boys are boys are boys are boys. You have one boy, you got a boy, you got two boys, you got half a boy, you got three boys. You ain't got no boys at all. Amen. One day, my son went to the Dairy Queen and got a little close to the curb and dented in the rocker panel of my car. And he was advised by his mother, I would think that I'd tell your dad before he sees that. First thing he did, came to the house. And I said, son, that's great. I'm glad nobody got hurt. We're cool. And I got it fixed. But if he would have not done that, there would have been somebody hurt. But anyway. God, the Bible says this. Listen, get this now. The Bible says that God made us in His image and in His likeness. So if a parent wants to make sure my children walk right and do things right while they've got their stinking feet under my table, amen? while they're sleeping in my bed, between my sheets and my blankets, and my roof is over their head, bless God, I want them to do what I tell them to do, because that's my house. Now my kids are grown. Now my boys all have children. They can walk home to my house and get into anything, pull things out and eat this and eat that. But you know what? When I go to their house, I don't do that. That's not my, you know. When I go to their house, I live by their laws. They come to my house. I don't know whose law they live by, but anyway. You see, man is not in the dark about the judgment. If he ate of the tree, the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, he would surely die. You remember the story. Satan came. Satan finds Eve by herself. Well, that's a good thing to keep your husband and wife together, amen? Found her by himself. And Satan tempts her. And Satan convinces her that she is not going to die and that she would be as wise as God. And Eve yields. That's not the worst thing. She gave it to her husband. And he did eat. It destroyed the sinlessness and the innocency of this world forever. There was a lady named Elsa that one of our men of our church led to the Lord, and she was 90-some years old, and we had a big birthday party for her on her 93rd birthday here at our church, and then she moved into the Cambridge Court, and at that time I was preaching the Cambridge Court every week, and boy, when she moved in there, I was her pastor, though I had preached there probably about 15 years. But when she moved in, I was her. I've been preaching to these other folks, these 20-some folks, week after week. But boy, when I got there, when she got there, I was her pastor, and she wanted everybody to know, this is my pastor. And one day I was trying to illustrate something. I said, "Hey, I said, when you get to heaven, what is the first thing you're going to do when you get to heaven?" And Elsa raised her hand just like that. She said, "You know what I'm going to do, preacher? I'm going to walk over and smack Eve." I think that's a good idea. She's caused me so much trouble in my life. Oh, boy. Every time we put a stitch of clothes on, we're saying, I have been cursed by sin. Then God gave mankind another opportunity to serve Him and trust Him fully in the Word of God. The Bible scholars call it the dispensation of conscience, the age of conscience. Here God moved man into a new realm. He kicked man out of the garden. God told mankind that he is to do good, and it is responsibility for his own actions. He told that he must sacrifice and shed the blood of an innocent animal that didn't do anything for them, for his sin, for he is to live by his conscience. Again, mankind showed off his true heart and wallowing in sin, and look at his actions. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, if you're looking in your Bible, Genesis 6, 5, "And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." You remember my preface of my message when I said, as in the day of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man? This is the day of Noah. Chapter 6, verse 5. Man became so unbelievable, disobedient, that God determined to destroy everything that was on this earth. But a man named Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord and God tells him how to build a boat, an ark. So God, so obeying God's command, he saved his own family. See, it's always good to obey God's command. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you something. It may be the only thing you'll ever save is your family. We're in the living of the days of Noah. And it may be the only thing you'll ever save is your family. You think there's many people on the earth? Absolutely. There are thousands upon thousands and thousands of people during the day of Noah. But mankind has sinned so desperately and so wickedly, God said, I've had it. I'm going to destroy the earth. As in the day of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling ourselves, talking about going to church, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves, as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Do we see the day approaching? How many think we're in the end times of this, in this life? Wow. More than 70% of you people. The other one's probably just tired. So God says, when we see the day approaching, we're to go out and invite and remind the people they're to be in church. This is where we need to be. I'll tell you what. I don't get any encouragement when I listen to any of the radio stations or the TV. I'm not encouraged. I got so mad the other day, I said, I want to listen to the news. All they can talk about is and this politician and this poll and this, that. I'm ready to climb a pole, amen. We need the preaching. We need to come and be encouraged by the Word of God. God is still on the throne, my brothers and sisters, my boys and girls, my teenagers. God is still on the throne. And He has not left the throne. And He's still there. And He still watches us. And He cares for us. And He said, I will never leave you, nor I'll forsake you. Though He said, we shall all suffer persecution. So I don't like that verse. But it's true. So obeying God's command, Noah builds an ark, a three-story boat, takes two of every kind, not every species, every kind, and puts them in the boat. But here's a wonderful thing. And God says, I want you to take seven of all the clean animals that breathe with their nostrils so that when they land, they may sacrifice. Here God again provides man a glimpse and assurance that God is going to save him, get him through. How do you think it's been stored up with all them animals? Almost a year. You say, but it only rained 40 days and 40 nights. But listen, read the scripture. It takes about a year. And God said, I want you to take seven animals, clean animals, that you can sacrifice. That was God telling, I just want you to know, you're going to get out of this thing. Well, when the thunder and the lightning was crashing, and the huge waves hitting the bark of that boat, Noah could say, to his sons Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives, and his wife. Listen, that's why those seven animals there, because we're going to get out of this thing, and we're going to sacrifice them. Thank God for that, amen. And by the way, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This devastating time in this life, hey, let me tell you something. We're going to get out of this thing if we invite Jesus Christ to be our Savior. If not, you're in great trouble. Well, after the flood, gives this next dispensation. It's called the Age of Promise. The Age of Promise. God calls on man and promises him to make his family. His name is Abraham. Abram. He said, I'm going to make a special nation, a special race of people. You're going to be called Israelites. God makes a... Listen now. Carefully listen. Because our government is really going against Israel. And we're in trouble when you go against Israel. But I will tell you, God made an eternal covenant with Abraham. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, the Bible says. We love those Jewish people. You say, yeah, but there's some cranky ones. Well, there's a lot of cranky ones of Hebrews too. I mean, the cranky ones of the Gentiles too. But the Bible said we're supposed to love those people. God made an eternal covenant with this peculiar people. God promised to make a great nation out of him. He and his family would be responsible to follow God. In fact, it was through them we have the Bible. Yet, as with all men, man fails and falls. They disappoint. They falter. They fizzle. They stop. And they lose hope. And they just do not do the commandment God told them to do. And after 430 years of being a slave in Egypt, mankind says, okay, I hear your cry. And mankind shows off his true heart and he flounders in sin, and God gives mankind another chance to serve him and to trust him fully in his word. And we get the next dispensation called the Age of the Law. God promises a law to mankind. God raises up a man named Moses and makes him a great leader of Israel. He receives the tablets of stone that God personally wrote on. Wrote the law and printed on them. And Moses then dies. And then the people named Joshua take over the leadership and take over the children of Israel into the promised land. And God has promised the father Abraham. Yet again, man fails to keep God's law. He's doomed for trouble. Again, mankind shows off his true heart and flounders in sin. And God gives mankind another chance to serve him and to trust him fully in his word. And Bible scholars call this dispensation the age of the church. That's what we're in today. Church age. This age is noted for its influence of spiritual work with non-Israelis. The Lord Jesus Christ came down from heaven's glory, and he's born of a virgin mother, and he was born in a manger, and he lived 33 years, and he was crucified by his own people, those that had the eternal covenant. And the fact that his people would have nothing to do with him. Christ dies on the cross. He shed his blood for you and me, for this whole world. And he raises from the dead after 3 days and three nights in the tomb. And all people ought to say, glory to God, amen. His people still refused him. Therefore, when the Israelites, his own people, refused him, he turned to the whole world. He ordains the world to preach the gospel. That's our job. Go into all the world, he says, and preach the gospel. Not only do we call this the age of the church, but we all call it the age of grace. Mankind is given the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as personal Savior. That's his only responsibility. God says that we are all sinners and that we must pay the price for our sins that we have committed. Yet we are so feeble and wretched and unworthy beggars that we have nothing to bring to be worthy. Nothing to pay for our debt, our sins that we have committed. I love this old song. It's grace greater than all my sins. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord. Grace that exceeds our sins and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary, Mount outpoured. there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Sin and despair, like the sea wave cold, threatens the soul with infinite loss. Grace is greater, yes, grace untold, points to the refuge, the mighty cross. Dark is the stain that we cannot hide. What can we do to wash it away? Look, there is a flowing a crimson tide brighter than snow. You may be today. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see His face, will you this moment His grace received? Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, 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 God's grace. Grace that is greater than all my sin. So God, in His love for humanity, sent His beloved only begotten Son to die on the cross to give us a home in heaven when we die. If we invite Him to come into our heart. That's our choice. Remember way back, God gave mankind a free will. He has a choice. Adam and Eve, in their free will, failed. Abraham, failed. The people of Moses' time failed. Time of Joshua's people failed. And there's a lot of people today, in the churches today in America and in this world, they fail because they do not realize that it is grace alone. It is God giving you something you do not deserve. But He wants you. In His file, folder, let's just imagine that I have a deed to a beautiful home in Great Falls. It has been estimated that this home is $2.5 million. It's along the Missouri River. It's a beautiful place to live. It has 25 acres. The taxes have been paid forever. It's yours. All you have to do is come and take this, and it's yours. You know, that's the way it is in the world. Wow. Heaven? No more hurt, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more troubles, no more terror. Wow, I'd sure like that. But nobody comes. It's yours. Offer's ended. One of these days, when you take that last breath, and your heart takes that last beat, and you expire, you'll be absent from your body. And if you have not received the blessed gift of salvation, Jesus Christ, you will be in hell. The other day I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about the rich man that went to hell. How many remember that story over there in Luke? And I read the story, and I'm amazed what it says. Lazarus, the Bible says, is carried to the bosom of Abraham, or to heaven. The rich man is in hell. And he cries immediately, he's in hell. He immediately cries to Abraham, says, Abraham! Send Lazarus to tip his finger in water and touch my tongue, for I am in great torment. You know what's incredible about that? That was immediate. If he's in torment, immediate. completely, God have mercy, what hell must be like. And the challenge this morning is, hey, right now, behold, today is the day of salvation. Right now, you can invite Jesus Christ to be your Savior, and He'll come in your heart and He'll save you immediately. So when the day comes when that old heart of yours stops and you expire, and I've heard it a lot of times, I've been to a lot of places with a lot of people take their last breath. And when they expire and they're gone, you can't bring them back. It's over. I have some people that are nurses. I have some people who worked in the hospital. You know what I'm talking about. It's over. Gone. Did they know Christ? I remember Granny Sapienza, my wife and I sat by her side that night. About 2 o'clock in the morning. No more stirring. You could almost feel the wind from those angels. I was looking around for a feather. She's gone. Hallelujah for salvation. And we live in a life that God offers us way more than $2.5 million and 25 acres. And people say, don't worry, preacher. I got time. No, you don't. When the Holy Spirit comes, that's why Jesus said that you must be born of water and the Spirit. Water is not talking about baptism. The water is talking about natural birth. When you have a baby, water comes. And he says, then the Spirit of God has got to be present when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And if He's speaking to your heart today, you better do it now. You do not hold back. Father, I pray that You'd speak to our hearts. Lord, the question I ask today, where are You going if You died today? Would You just trust this old Bible that's been around for thousands of years? Or are You going to put Your trust in some eternal destiny and what other people say and other men say? Or are You going to take what the Bible said? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. Dear God, I pray today, if there be anyone, they're not sure they're saved, not sure they're on their way to heaven, right now, right here, right at this place, they say, that's me. I want to take care of it right now. And if you're that person, with your head bowed, eyes closed, you're that person, you say, I'm going to take care of this right now. Right there where you're sitting, why don't you pray this prayer? God, now just go ahead and pray. Say, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe You died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart and save me right here, right now, right at this spot, right where I'm sitting. Let me tell you the promise of God said this, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's God's promise to you. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God that ye may know that ye have eternal life. God's name is truth. He always tells the truth. Did you receive Him today? In a moment, I'm going to ask you to step out of that seat, walk down the aisle, meet me in the front. Won't you come to Jesus today? Won't you come? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's all stand. You're here today and you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. But I'd like to know that. Why don't you come right out of that seat right now? Just come on. Say, preacher, I want to get saved. I want to be sure I'm on my way to heaven. Won't you take care of that today? You're ordained and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Boy, I want to make sure of that today. Why don't you come right now? Come on, come on. You're ordained and say, preacher, I've been saved. And we'll follow the Lord and believers' baptism. Why don't you come? You're ordained and say, preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we want to serve God at. Why don't you come at this time? Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for today. We thank you for the promises of this word of God. We are not alone. You're with us. We cannot go anyplace alone because you are at our side. We thank you for that. Lord, we thank you. You said you never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, though the problems come and heartaches come, you said casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Oh, Lord, there's a lot of problems going on in this world, but Lord, would you be so close to us that we can almost smell you? We could bump, we feel you bumping into us. Oh God, I pray you'd help us to walk more like you. Help us to talk more like you. May we have the heart of you, Jesus, that would forgive and get on with life. Lord, bless this service. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've given to us. Bring us back tonight. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, you're dismissed.